coming in on 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews.
Yeah!
I like being chock full of shit.
That's about it!
Was that recorded?
Sperm bag of Sounders. Bananas kind of pissed me off.
And the average for the beer that everybody loves is really high.
I like getting shit on.
It's not an episode if you didn't make something up.
Tangerines are whores.
The podcast is like, there's so much focus.
Just shut up, Chris.
For 10 seconds, I'm sweating by the end of it.
What if I had to fart really bad?
How many times did your heart stop?
Half time. It just died. Half time stop.
It's called arrhythmia.
We did break him. He's unintelligible now.
But yeah, I mean, even if I keep my mouth shut, my body tends to start making noises in its absence.
Or you start touching the microphone again, moving it around, crunch, crunch, crunch.
Oh, you're one of those kids that would have hated anymore. In elementary.
You would have hated me?
In elementary, yeah, like when the teacher's like, be quiet, and there's one kid who can't
just
shut up.
Just can't.
I'd be like, ah.
Yeah,
no. Damn it.
Couldn't stop moving.
Yeah.
I rarely sat at my desk. It just was with stand the way, next yeah. to it. Yeah,
and you keep playing with that microphone. I feel that it needs to be said that like your ASMR YouTube channel gets like no hits at all.
Yeah, it's because I don't have one yet.
That was the magic word there, sweetheart.
Yeah, that's right. I'm gonna scrunch things up.
Scrunch them up, throw them away.
I'm gonna scrunch them down, scrunch them up, scrunch them all around that microphone.
What about that uphill downhill bullshit?
We're not gonna go into that.
Both ways.
I fucking.
Nope. All right, welcome to another episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews, a childish podcast about adult beverages. I'm your host Knox. With me today is Bigger and Chris.
Hi.
Hey.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back.
Back in the dungeon once
again. I'm excited. It's going to be a fun day.
It is going to be a fun day.
Anyways, or me.
We'll see. We'll see.
Not
how
so much
fun
for the
is,
wallets
we'll
or see. Chris's wallet mostly.
I was just in Denver, so let's see if you guys can live up to that shit.
Yeah, no, we're not going to be able to.
John Denver.
In John Denver? Oh,
I was
you were in John Denver?
I climbed his rock.
He's just like a short little guy, isn't he?
He's also dead.
Well, right.
You know.
Well, he'd be perfect for the game.
Necrolarpsy. What was it called?
It's the necropsy finals here. Beautiful Daytona.
The winner gets his glasses.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. All right. We'll do one of these. All right. And with us today, we have a couple special guests. You've heard them all already. We have Evan Christie from Bridgeview Liquors. How you doing, Evan?
I am fizzing with excitement.
Woohoo! We had a local comedian, Nathan Rowe, with us. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, I'm bubbling with excitement.
We're keeping the theme. Let's see if guest number one can keep that up. Ben Revere, welcome back to the show.
I'm happy to be here because I ran out of toilet paper at my place.
Not the same
Ben,
energy.
You fell flat on that one.
That's a
You got fucking burned.
His toilet honest. At home is fizzing with the excitement.
Right? I'll have you know it's sparkling clean.
Oh, there we go. It took a minute. He always delivers under pressure.
All right, so today's episode, ladies and gentlemen out in the podcast world, is more or less Champagnes Part 3.
Here, hold that. That was the pop of the champagne. Wow.
He just didn't want to whack himself in the eyeball. Yeah. He's like, no.
That squint is not as again. Hard.
That champagne pop was about as disappointing as most of my jokes.
Oh, shit. Can we rewind and start over then? That's okay. There's three more.
You know, if you do the sommelier test, part of it, if you open sparkling wine, is to not have any noise. That's actually the ideal.
Really?
Yeah, because the pop means you're somewhat out of control of it. Mm. Champagne corks, they actually can kill people. There's the pressure of a gun behind it in terms of PSI. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to, you're always in control of the cork. You're making sure you hold on to both. And the ideal is to control it so much that it's just a tiny whisper of a sound.
PSI.
Thank you.
I really like that Korean rapper. Gangnam style, right?
Yeah.
I thought you were thinking tiny whisper. Isn't that a Wham song?
Oh boy, no, this is gonna be a fucking long
tiny bubbles
pop culture podcast.
How many things can we fuck up in a row?
Well, we didn't fuck that one up. All right, so this first one that we have for today's episode, that's 3/4 champagnes and 1 brut sparkling wine. This is from Cava Tora Oria Brut. If you go to TORREORIA.com, that's who's doing this one. Our brut sparkling wine is a signature beverage of Tora Oria. It's our most demanded wine worldwide and the top exporting wine of our cellars. It's a delicate selection of the best Macabeo and Chardonnay from our region. Evan, what is that word?
Macabeo.
Okay, gotcha. We pursued a secondary fermentation in the bottle, which may take up to 9 to 10 months. This results in a complex wine with a sweet, citric, tropical, and enjoyable fresh taste. It also has a well-balanced bubbling that ascends beautifully in the glass and also leaves a lovely, time-lasting memory.
Well done.
So.
No, not really. That's,
let's talk about it. What, fucking.
Guess what? You know what it smells like? Yeah, it smells like, yeah.
What do you look for in a champagne that says, hey, this one's a fucking banger?
You know, in sparkling wine versus champagne, I'm sometimes looking for slightly different things. So this is a cava, which is a Spanish sparkling wine. It's made in the same method as champagne, but some different grapes and a lot warmer region. So in a good cava, I'm looking for a lot of bright acidity. I'm looking for good, fun fruit. Cavas usually aren't too serious of wines, although there are some examples that are like single vintage age that are really impressive. But in general, this should be light, fruity, refreshing, fun, bright.
How about from a bubble standpoint?
Oh, again, it varies, but in traditional method sparklers, the French word for it would be mousse, and you're looking for a lot of small bubbles.
Okay, so.
And that's commonly found when you do secondary fermentation. Like when homebrewers do it in their beer, usually their bubbles are a little bit tinier than if you'd, you know, use a carb stone at a brewery and carb it that way.
Yeah, that's. Exactly
but not
right.
As small
yeah.
as nitro either. It's not as small as nitrogen mm-hmm. either. So. This has a very bright, kind of a funky smell to it. It's a very, like, very watered down piss color with a lot of tiny bubbles mm-hmm. in my beer.
Hello. Yeah, it smells
who's
like
who's saying tiny bubbles?
That was Don Ho.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah.
I thought it was a lady.
No, it was Don Ho.
It was Don Ho.
Yeah.
Oh, that's blowing bubbles, I was thinking.
Blowing bubbles in the wine.
There's a good balance to me on the nose of fruit characteristics as well as minerality.
Mm-hmm.
There's that sort of chalky minerality and then a little bit of lemon, but also some bright tropical fruit.
I got green apples.
Yeah, I see where you're going with like the lemon. It's got like a very bright scent to it.
Yeah, I just get a lot of fruit.
But I see what Knox is talking about with like the funk of it. It kind of mm-hmm. has like that fermented funk.
Yeah.
Almost like a sour.
Kind of like almost like a wild fermentation sour a little bit.
Yeah, almost like, this might be a stretch, but almost like a little peaty just on the nose.
Wasn't he Alfalfa's friend?
Little peaty?
Yeah.
Young I'd go with peaty. Yeasty. Yeasty maybe to that describe was, that, yeah.
Yeasty, yeah.
Pretty that sure it was the dog
yeah.
was peaty.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah. Little Rascals, right?
Right, yeah.
Also known as our gang. Hal Roach. Yeah. Other nonsensical things not associated to this show. Boy, this champagne is good.
It kind of reminds it has that kind of like bite of like a Chardonnay. Like
yeah.
the flavor of the grape varietal. It's kind of got that kind of reminiscent of that Chardonnay grape.
Well, because it's made with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, does that make sense? Yeah, I just fucking read it.
There's other...
Welcome Jesus. To my world.
I forgot. I was too busy listening to you guys.
And then,
hey, it tastes like just like that thing I just read.
Then Macabeo. You can really taste the Macabeo in here. I don't know what the fuck Macabeo is.
It's the mother of Scott Baio.
Damn it, I missed that one.
You got
right
that one.
There,
Macabeo. Is she Italian? I feel that they're, I don't know.
It's me, Maca.
Macabeo. Is Fonzie coming over for dinner tonight? I don't know.
I get that. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt with what we're actually talking about, but
bravo.
I get that bruteness on there. It's dry. A lot of bubbles. It tastes not as sweet as it smells.
Yeah. So this is for pussies.
This is 11.3%.
And at Brut, it shouldn't be noticeably sweet.
Right. Right.
I don't know if Cava's Brut level is the same as Champagne, but for Champagne to be Brut, it has to be under 12 grams of sugar per liter. And the human tongue can detect 7 grams of sugar per liter. So it could be very slightly detectable sweetness, but really minimal. Mm-hmm. And it should be fermented out pretty dry.
I don't know. This feels pretty sweet to me.
I'm getting a lot more
sweet,
like acidity.
But sharp and sour.
Yeah,
and
sour.
I know this is real good though.
It's
I'm enjoying it.
Kind of the difference though between fruit and sweet. And I think that's it's an area that when we describe wines, there's often a disconnect as someone who sells wine for a living to customers. And nothing wrong with the different terms to describe things, but when winemakers describe wine, they're only going to describe it as sweet if there's sugar in it.
Okay.
Whereas this one, there's no leftover sugar from the grapes. It's fermented to dry. But because those grapes produce flavors that are really fruity, like I get ripe tropical notes in here, like kiwi and passion fruit. And so those give you that fullness and richness. Mm-hmm. And then the acid kind of washes it out and dries it through. So it comes out as a dry wine.
Yeah. Now that you say kiwi, that's coming forward a lot. You know, kind of like.
I did get some of that green apple that Chris was talking about as well. Some candied lemon.
What about a scale of 0 to 5?
I'll start this one off. I'll give this one probably a 3.
We'll figure it out there, Cliff Clavin.
3.25.
I'm sorry, 3.25?
Yeah.
I'll give it a 3.5.
I mean, it's better than a, you know, Andre. That's about it.
I thought this was really good. Mm-hmm. I'd give it a 4.
I'm going to go 3.5.
I'd also give it a 4. That this is pretty delightful.
I've drank some garbage in the past.
I've watched you
quite
do
literally,
it.
Like literally.
Yeah. There's a lot of bad.
I saw you clean out the grease trap.
He didn't just clean it out.
Cleaned it out. Just poured it into your mouth.
He didn't just clean it out. How do you think the mess got there to begin with?
Oh yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I would,
In total control of that, Evan. You could tell, couldn't you?
I could probably pour some of this stuff on a bowl of Fruit Loops, so I'm going to give it a 3.5.
That's your scale? 3.5 is Fruit Loops?
Fruit Loops. Quality.
Yep. If you could pour it on Lucky Charms, would it be a 4?
Hey, well, yeah. I don't know. Possibly.
I think, what color would that turn into?
Well, this stuff would chew right through those goddamn marshmallows.
Maybe
yeah. They disintegrate, you know?
That's part of the fun, though. As they disintegrate, you huff over the bowl.
Just the smoke that comes off of it. Jesus Christ.
Inhaling marshmallow bubbles.
Marshmallow huffing.
What are you guys' opinion on smoking alcohol? Have you heard of that? Where you vaporize it?
It's hard to keep lit.
I'm in danger. Yeah.
New episode idea.
I go through a lot smoking of lighters trying to light my liquor.
What was the average?
Oh, the average for the Tora Oraya Brut is...
Cava Brut.
Thank you. Cava Brut is 3.62 out of 5.
All right.
As the...
I should probably pour this other one here.
As the liquor store guy, I'd just love to point out the great thing about Cava is it's incredibly inexpensive. It's a great value. So that bottle's $11.
Oh,
wow.
Shit.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, yeah. All right. It's definitely worth that. So
yeah, like you're saying, Andre, if you're looking at Andre, which is,
$6.
I think right now, $6 or $7 for just going up one tiny price point, you can get stuff that's actually really high quality.
Andre's not good. Not good.
Unless it's the giant form.
Mimosa.
Yeah.
Oh, anything's fine in mimosas.
I bet,
Jesus
see,
Christ.
See, that stuff's only $11. Man, I bet Andre the Giant could have plowed through, like, how much of that?
42. 30 bottles.
30 bottles?
Sure.
I'd put my money on 30 cases.
To him, a bottle is like like just a little Nestle
like a
water
shot.
Bottle. Yeah,
you know? Just like, boom, give me another one.
He's drinking 100 beers in a sitting.
Yeah.
That's like 30 bottles of wine.
It's rumored he couldn't use a regular toilet. He had to like go in the bathtub when he was on the road.
He watched.
Fun fact.
He drank 156 beers in one sitting. That's 14.6 gallons of beer.
And there's like a six pack and a bottle of wine.
Imagine the average human stomach can only hold about a liter.
Jesus. That's like, imagine like
finally,
those 5 gallon
water
cooler.
So that's I got at least 2 or 3 liters
that
here.
That equates to 26 bottles of champagne then. If you put a six pack in a bottle, right?
Yeah.
I was so close.
Wowza. Good job. You get a star for the day.
Alcohol-wise, not volume-wise, because you couldn't fit a six-pack volume-wise into a...
Right, correct.
Yes, alcohol percentage-wise, absolutely.
Damn.
Yeah. Sexy.
What a guy.
What I just pour myself.
Princess Bride fame.
All right, are we ready, guys?
Yeah.
All right, this next one is Champagne Francis Boulard. And filet.
Pretty sure that was correct.
Is that
are you doing
a
Finnish accent? I'm sure you offended a whole group
you
of
like,
people.
You just covered all of Scandinavia with that. Oh, we got the champagne to Francis Buller.
She's going
to
be hope you enjoy the bubbles here, guys.
Lena, come over here. Oh, wait, that was
German. German.
Holy
Ernie's going full Nazi on this one.
Hey, I did not.
Bubbly, now. Schnell.
You vote. I see nothing.
I'm sorry, Knox. You were saying.
Yes, this is the Grand Cru. Grand Montana.
I can see your jokes.
Oh, love it. Grand Cru, Grand Montagne. Wine comes from Mailly, Champagne, a village on the...
There.
Montagne de Reims.
Classed Grand Cru 100%. This vintage champagne is brut nature.
Equals zero minus dosage.
Whatever that is.
Zero dosage, yeah.
So this is a 60% Pinot Noir.
I thought it was a math equation. No, you know what a brut nature is? It's the same as zero minus your dosage.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Dosage, that's French for dosage.
So this is a 2019? Is this a 2019? It does not say. It just says F51220.
It might... It's possible they're saying this is vintage dated... I'm not sure this bottle is, though. They might have switched in a previous vintage to doing vintage dated versus non-vintage.
Engorgement date, 31 March 2016.
There you go.
It was engorged?
That's when it's put in bottle the first time. When it's put in bottle for the secondary fermentation is the engorgement. And disgorgement is when they shoot out the yeast and then rebottle it for sale.
There you go.
Shooting out yeast, that's something you're familiar with, isn't
it, Chris? That just like cold crashing?
It's pretty different. It is, I mean, you're going to make a rude joke, but it is. You basically make a butt plug of yeast in the wine.
Yeah, and that's something you're familiar with, Chris. This is like right up your territory, all right?
Hey,
this
I don't
is your wheelhouse.
I don't call it my territory.
I like saying butt plug of yeast. I think it's great.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah, these Frenchmen know what's up, you know.
We have used this process somewhere before, no?
So this is 60% Pinot Noir, 40% Chardonnay.
Okay, this definitely smells more farmhousey to me.
It's got the spontaneous alcohol fermentation with indigenous yeasts. Malolactic fermentation takes place.
It smells sweeter in a way.
Looks yellower here.
Yeah.
Yellower.
It's
much
a different
like a
kind of
straw.
Fruit, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like almost like plum.
Yeah.
Plum, dark currant.
Dark currant, there you go.
Apricot, it's very stone fruity to me.
Dude.
But not like the avocado type stone fruit.
No.
It's like the other.
I get a little bit.
Peaches.
I love a good guacamole champagne.
Oh,
I don't know about anybody else.
I get a little bit of angel food cake on it, too.
Oh, absolutely. Long.
Oh, wow. Yeah, big time.
And some vanilla frosting.
That long yeast aging is going to give you those bready characters. A common note on champagnes is like brioche.
I love how this opens up, though, and you get all those smells.
Yeah, this smells amazing. Like kind of like a bakery.
Oh.
Yeah, it's that fresh baked bread, that yeast kind of. It's yeast dying, but it smells great to us.
Mm-hmm. I love the smell of dying yeast in the morning.
That's right.
Mm-mm.
I was taking a look at the suggestions we got here on what to, you know, pair this with. It says with poultry, white meat in a cream sauce, or a noble fish.
Oh, wow.
So I got to go out and find a fish that's been knighted?
By the queen. You know?
No, those are ones that just hop into your boat.
Something on the surface. Oh.
That would be a suicidal fish.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I don't know how noble it is for a fish to like say, I'm going to commit suicide. I don't think that's very noble, but, you know.
He's taking one for the team so we don't have to catch somebody who's in good shape.
It's very noble of him to put himself out there.
Oh, you know? Okay. I see where you're going with it. You know? I don't know. But I could.
It's really good with the strawberries.
This is all cuttable, right?
Thanks for inviting me, fuckboy.
We didn't really think you'd come.
Thought you'd have a full dance card or something.
I don't know. That's wow. It is way different.
Yeah,
much more red fruit on this for sure. On the taste,
almost like a red apple instead of a green apple. It's the last one.
Yeah, almost crab apple-ish.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it ain't a Red Delicious, because
those are fucking terrible.
Yeah. I love Red Delicious. I'm terrible.
Oh, you are weird.
I have terrible taste in apples. I think it's maybe nostalgia, though. Right? Because that was the Big Apple when I was
like
a kid, at
little
least.
Mealy ones.
Yeah, just something about that. I love it.
They're gritty sandpaper on the inside.
Yeah, and the skin just gets stuck.
Those are just the Washington apples, right? That are like the
Washington apple is a shot.
What do you mean shot?
It's a shot, Washington.
Oh,
I thought somebody was out there with like a machine gun in an orchard.
You need to, go
Washington
back home
apples. I don't know.
And they got wooden teeth, right?
That's weird. All right.
But you said they're kind of woody.
This is a pretty good champagne, though.
I don't know. I
think it's definitely better on the nose than it is like on the tongue.
See, I think this one's drier than the last thing we drank.
Yeah,
I would agree.
It's way less fruity. There's way more non-fruit character, more preserved fruit. This to me is what I'm looking for in a champagne, though, that yeastiness, that richness, complexity. There's a lot going on. There's even a savory edge to it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. This is really complex.
It's definitely less, I don't know a better word, but, like, the last one is a lot lighter, and then this one's a lot more, rich, just in general. Mm. Like, I wouldn't be able to drink near as much of this as the first one.
Not with that fucking attitude.
And this is 12%.
Yep.
I'd have no problem drinking quite a lot of this one.
Yeah, this one's really good. Who wants to start out the rating on this one?
I'm going to revisit it.
Okay.
I'll give Ernie time. I'll go ahead and start. This is the bottle I brought. So, you know, I know there's always a thing with that here, but I do like this one. I'm going to give this a 4.5.
Okay. Nathan?
I don't think it connected with me on an emotional level as much as the first one.
But that's because you're
it's always your first, isn't this, it?
It's always because he's damaged and guarded now.
Touch for the very first time. No, but this one's
You do impressions also.
Wait, how'd they get Madonna on this booze podcast? No, but...
Sound like more like Five Non-Blondes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But anyways...
doing Madonna.
Sixpence, none the richer. Anyways,
I was ready for you to throw like Three Dog Night in there, you know, or something.
Or 3.5 Dog Night?
3.5 Dog Night. I don't know. Would you give it?
3.75.
I agree with you to a point, but I feel that this champagne pairs extremely well with Ernie's wieners. And so I'm going to give it a 4.
That was plural.
And Ernie's noble wieners.
Yes. Ernie's wieners are of the highest nobility.
I'm going to give this one a 4.25. I really like this one.
For context, Ernie made us brats before the episode.
Well, now you spoiled the surprise.
Right?
One surprise.
After I revisited it, I think I like this one a little bit better than the last one. I'm going to give it a 3.75.
All right, Chris.
4.25.
couldn't round that off, could you?
I did.
Oh. And on a quarter.
Yeah.
Not an even dollar, though.
No.
No, why would I do that?
Is that plus tax?
The rest is for tipping.
To that? Oh. Oh, at least you leave a tip.
Fucking dick.
You calling me out?
Yeah.
All right. So the average for Francis Bouillard Grand Cru is 4.08.
It's got to go in your face.
Huh.
All right. Well, that's
so random.
I feel like I need to take a break and figure out what the hell that was.
All right, guys, let's take an ad read break. We'll be right back after this.
Break, break,
later,
break, break, break. Break. That's a fine piece of bric-a-brac.
Bye, Menon.
Big Earn here from Brews, Booze, and Reviews. Want to give a shout-out to one of our sponsors, Bridgeview Liquors. Bridgeview is conveniently located in Moorhead, Minnesota at 935 37th Avenue South. They have an impressive selection of craft beers, wines, and all the boozes. They have a friendly and knowledgeable staff. In fact, Bridgeview started their classes again on Saturdays. Go check out Bridgeview on Facebook and click on their events tab for all the classes they have and all the classes that they have coming up. For only $25, you can attend these classes and you get to sample some really good stuff. The guys and I actually went to one of the rum classes and it was a great experience. So for all the info on Bridgeview, including their hours of operation, check them out on Facebook. And when you do check out, mention Brews, Booze, and Reviews and you get 10% off your purchase. Thank you, listeners, and thank you, Bridgeview. Cheers.
We here at Brews, Booze, and Reviews want to send a special shout out and thanks to our sponsors, FargoUnderground.com. If you want to find out more about things going on in the FM area, just head over there to FargoUnderground.com, hover over the events tab, and you can see things like the major events they have going on here in town. They have on other events, they have classes and workshops and arts and crafts. Or in the nightlife section, they have my favorite tab, which is the comedy section. So when you hit on that, that shows upcoming comedy events for the current month that's happening. So head over to FargoUnderground.com, check out their events tab and see what's going on in the area today.
A voyeur, but not that bad.
Did you go to school for that?
Did I go to school?
Weight Watcher.
He wasn't enrolled, but he went to school for voyeurism.
Hey there, kids.
He's crazy.
That old guy on Family Guy.
Excellent.
Oh, I have that one somewhere. Anyways.
That's fun.
All right. Well, hey, welcome back from our ad read, guys.
Beautifully read.
Yes. Our ad reads.
Kind of maroonish.
That's the maroon. It's just the maroon in you.
My favorite boy band.
You get a little bit one of these.
I used all my jokes yesterday at Under Bruce Skies.
You did. Yeah, that's what everyone's saying.
Hey, I think I'm trending. Yeah. Or I'm something.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the next one here.
Yeah, no, we can't get it out now. It's got to stay in the fridge for every last second.
Oh, shit.
Now you're waiting on me. Now it's my fault.
He can start saying what it is.
Okay.
Well, you know, I will. This is the Dom Perignon. This is the 2010 edition Dom Perignon. Yeah, 2010, the essence of the challenge. Winter is rigorous, spring dry and late. After a particularly sunny decade, such freshness was surprising. Summer was hot, but not excessively so. Then 2 days of diluvian rain brought this ideal trajectory to a halt. Just a few days. Botrytis mold developed on the grapes, mainly on the Pinot Noir. This triggered a race against the clock. The grapes were not yet fully mature, but a decision had to be made quickly. Dom Perignon deployed.
They were young and dumb.
No, they were young and dumb.
Look at that punch up.
They were dumb and Perry young.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Next.
Yeah, who else? Who else on this line-orama?
Jesus Christ. All right.
Queefed a little bit on that one.
Queefed a little bit.
It made some noise.
Do you know dolphins can queef?
I can't even sew.
What?
Exactly.
I've had some champagne in it today.
So Dom Perignon deployed its full resources to trace a precise map delimiting the maturity and health of each parcel in its vineyards. Every minute counted. This expert vision of the situation gave the possibility of saving excellent plots of Pinot Noir grapes. The challenge was met. Dom Perignon declared a vintage quite literally saved from the waters. Dom Perignon Vintage 2010, Fruit of Intuition and Mastery.
All right. First thing I notice is I probably rated those other ones higher just off the appearance. At least my glass is overwhelmingly bubbly.
Yeah, this one looks like sparkling water almost with how carbonated.
Yeah.
It seems yeah, there's a lot more bubble to it.
Mm-hmm.
I get obviously that fruit aroma when I first stuck my nose in the glass, just the bubbles, the effervescence just went right up my nose.
Get you
right up your snoot.
It's very fruity. I get maybe a hint of like peach or something in there.
Yeah. I don't think this comes as with as much funk as some of the other one.
Yeah. I'm getting a little bit of mango on there.
Tell you what, as soon as it hit my tongue, it's like fucking Alka-Seltzer. This shit's bubbly.
I get some white pepper spiciness to it as well.
Holy.
Yep.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is spicy. Wow, that doesn't taste anything like it smells.
This would pair really good with noble fish. I can.
Oh, at least.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you can drink it just for the halibut.
Oh. Man, nothing I like better than getting from my Boilermaker job. I go home, have some noble fish, some Dom Perignon.
Your Boilermaker job?
Hey, yeah.
Like the drink?
Salt
you're,
of the earth. Say,
you're a mixologist?
No, I...
No, I just get paid to do Boilermakers all day long.
I make boils for people.
It does have a very tart smell to it. Like Granny Smith apple bit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
This is way different because yeah. you get a lot more. You had mentioned, Evan, that pepper.
A bit of lime with that.
I don't know if I get, savory.
I don't know if I get pepper when I drink it, but there's something like that deeper and darker in there.
I believe he said
a
like
spicy
a,
note.
Yeah, pepperish spice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, as soon as I taste it, I'm like, yep,
maybe
I agree
some
with
clove
you.
Almost on there.
It is super citrusy to me, lemon juice, lime peel almost.
It dries out quite quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, but you still get these little hints of flavors, and it keeps you kind of wanting to go back to the glass, which makes you bloated, which makes you want to burp in people's faces.
And that's exactly what you're looking
that's
for.
That's what champagne's all about, is yeah. just burping at just, people.
And people are like, Chris, like can you please leave the baby shower? No one invited you.
I thought you were going to say, please leave the baby.
You're breathing in the baby's face, and it's getting it
He can't do shit about it.
This is a 12.5% ABV, by the way.
Correct.
So Lady Gaga made this.
No.
You said something like that.
No, they couldn't spring for the Grammy Award-winning champagne, so we got to drink this stuff instead.
Mm.
I think it was that she did a special edition label.
Label, yeah.
For some of the cases in this vintage.
I like the idea of, like, between, like, getting nominated for Oscars and Grammys and stuff, she's like, ah. I won't be fulfilled until I design some Dom Perignon labels.
I could die now. If only I could perform with Liza Minnelli next.
I can die in peace knowing I've made a Dom Perignon label.
Or Dom Perignon just thought that they wanted to be stylish and wanted to get somebody who is not only fashionable, but a good musician and writes pop music.
No, I think it's the first thing.
Yeah, probably the first
thing. Okay. It's probably the first thing, if I had to guess.
I bet with that, if you get the one with the label on it, I bet it pairs really well with a meat dress.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like a charcuterie.
Yeah.
Where are your charcuterie?
Chris, like you get invited to a lot of baby showers. You know all about that, right?
I don't get invited. I get thrown out of a lot.
Oh, yeah.
He crashes them, yes.
Yeah, I mean, what better place to go and meet single women than a baby shower?
where all the ladies are at.
I feel much more comfortable around those types of people.
Baby Shower Crashers was the direct-to-video sequel of Wedding Crashers. Yes.
They couldn't hire Vince Vaughn, so they settled for Chris.
Yeah, and they couldn't get Owen Wilson either, so they just got a volleyball.
Wow.
Yeah, I just did both the voices. Me and wow. Crazy.
So you're like Eddie Murphy, where you play all the roles.
That's
yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Except for I'm in his later days where none of the characters were good.
What do you mean? What was that? Pluto?
The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Oh, that was awesome.
That movie was better than, what was the superhero one that Bill Cosby did? That Leonard Part 6.
Yeah,
that is like Leonard, the worst movie ever.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, The Adventures of Pluto Nash, yeah, much better. But not by much.
All you want to do is smoke that.
Anything you guys know about the champagne? You like
it's tasty. Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah. I think it dries out too fast, kind of too tart. I get a lot of that peppery spice.
I wish it wouldn't dry out as fast. I'm glad you said that.
And then it dries the top of my tongue, but the flavor lingers for quite a while. And that's kind of nice. It has a really good aftertaste, actually.
Yeah.
I think more of that fruit comes through at the end.
I love the mousse. I think the bubble on it's extraordinary.
Yeah, what about the squirrel?
But it's a bit...
I have a picture of a squirrel.
Is it also on a lamb sheep rug? Oh, yeah.
We'll find the moose and squirrel. No, but it's very linear. I would describe this one as it's linear, it's bright, and I'm
kind of...
Are
they younger than millennials or... Older
what?
Oh, Jesus. You know, you don't have to say everything that pops up.
Keep going, Evan.
So, compared to the last one, for example, there's not as much of a finish on this, and they even describe in the notes that it was a fairly cool year, and the way the spring worked. And I think they were saying we managed to harvest a really good vintage. And I'm kind of drinking it and going, I think you did as well as you could.
You could,
but
yeah.
The year wasn't actually super conducive to a vintage champagne.
It was still actually, $160, though.
Yeah. Wow. I actually wanted to ask Evan, so this spring has really sucked, kind of. It's been cold, way colder than normal. Shit, there was just a blizzard like 3-4 weeks ago. In fact, some people up north of here got snow just, yesterday.
Jesus.
How could that affect the grapes that are locally grown from some of the local wineries?
You would be better to ask someone like Sean or Greg, who's running those local wineries. From my understanding, when you're starting later, it just means your grapes have less chance to ripen, and also that they have less chance to ripen slowly. When grapes ripen slowly, they develop more complexity. When grapes ripen quickly, they tend to have simpler, easier, more direct flavors. But in this region, we have such a short growing season anyway. I'm not sure how much development happens because our springs are normally pretty short. And we really don't get much of a summery growing season until now anyway.
Yeah, spring was on a Saturday this year.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much it.
That was great.
True. Had to wear a hoodie and a cap at Under Blue Skies yesterday.
Yeah, that's prime it was chilly. Hoodie shorts weather, you know, it's like.
So do we want to rate this one or?
Yes.
Well, I think it's almost too bubbly. It's filling my belly. But the taste is great. It's very citric, limey, but like lime peel, we were talking about earlier. It's got that nice tart flavor to it, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
I thought that's what you were eventually
that was
getting
your rating?
To. I thought.
Oh, you want me to rate it? I'll rate this one a 4.
That was a long number.
Sorry.
I am disappointed. I'm giving it a 3.50. I think I like the Francis one better.
Okay.
Obviously, because I scored it. Chris.
I like that it's super fucking bubbly. It's 4.25.
I think this is nice, but I'm a little bit disappointed by the complexity, so I am also going to go with a 4.
I think this one's my favorite one so far, just because the aftertaste it leaves with you is just, I don't know, just very pleasant. Like, I just want to eat, like, a piece of, like, lemon fish, you know, with it.
A noble really fish, by yeah, nature?
That would be a surfish.
It could be a peasant fish too, but no, I'd give it a 4.25.
So you're saying it'd go well with like a gutter fish?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
any fish,
some gutter trash, you know,
the band fish.
Sewer fish that you just stick your fishing rod down over a grate and pull it up.
Yep. Whatever comes up, I'm eating. Yeah.
With my Dom Perignon.
Hey, look. Dumpster diving with Dom.
I just caught that's a whole other podcast, condoms.
Chris. No, I really enjoyed this thing, and it's kind of clean on the aftertaste. I agree with everything you guys have said, but I still like it, so I'll give it a 4.
So I was the only one that was like, kind of really disappointed with this one.
Yeah, you're usually the Debbie Downer.
All right, so the average for Dom is 4.
Very lime-heavy vintage year for Dom Perignon.
I really wish Dom DeLuise would have come out with the champagne. I think that would have been good. You know?
Or Dominic Toretto.
If you're looking for a champagne that'll pair great with a Burt Reynolds film, try Dom DeLuise.
Something laced with mushrooms. So you can actually enjoy the movie.
What are you talking about? Cannonball Run is a cinematic masterpiece.
Cannonball Run is when I have to go to the bathroom pretty quickly.
Fantastic. All right, this next one. After this, you get the average.
4.
4.
Yeah. So for the price, no way would I ever.
Yeah, considering it's basically 3 times the Francis Boulard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that one better.
That's why I love grower champagne.
Not shower champagne?
Grower champagne.
Not a shower champagne.
It does sound like you're making that. The difference is these big houses, Dom Perignon, which is part of Moët & Chandon, I believe we're moving on to Cristal, which is from Louis Roederer. Any of these big houses, they don't grow their own grapes. They purchase grapes from the growers all around Champagne and make their blends. Grower champagne is when the same person controls the vineyards and the winemaking process.
There's like no middleman that way.
Exactly, yep.
Because yeah. Moët & Chandon makes some other stuff that I enjoy, though, as well.
Yep, Moët & Chandon. They also make Veuve Clicquot, which is, I think, their preferable
that's
one.
That's the orange one?
Yeah.
That orange label? Fuck Veuve, yeah.
For, I think that's my favorite big brand champagne.
I hammer a lot of that shit back with OJ. I sometimes don't drink with him anymore because of the incident.
I was going to say, I mean, are things still
back in the day, dude, when he played for the Bills, me and him would drink a lot.
The hard part later was you had to smuggle the Veuve into the prison and getting it out again. Yeah. Not a lot of people wanted to drink it after
yeah.
that.
Yeah, but I bet there was a few years you guys just got drunk and watched Naked Gun, like, round the clock.
Over and
right?
over, and like, yeah. You fell down these steps really well. Way to go, Juice.
No, yeah, so Evan, you would recommend, like, a grower just, like, not only for the price point, but also for the overall quality per...
Yeah,
you know, it's less of a status like brand like Dom Perignon.
Precisely.
You know, and you're also getting rid of that middleman.
Yeah, I would recommend that. There are good brands made that way. There's a fair number of wines made that way. The French term is négociant. A lot of Burgundy.
Is that where
is
they
made
talk about it a lot?
Well, they're French. They always
talk
about it. Trying
to narrow it down with our négociant. What did you say?
Négociant?
That's what I said.
You can't say that.
All right. So what we got for an average again? 4, right? So the next one is Chris. You
no,
got this
you
one.
You almost got it right. Chris Stahl.
Yes, but you got this one.
Isn't that your rapper name?
Chris A.L.?
Chris Stahl.
He's got a sidekick, and his name is Chris Al? Short.
No, that's his stripper name. Chris Stahl.
Chris Stahl?
Yeah. Down at the unknown hole.
It's not bad.
Louis Roederer. Champagne, Maison Fondue, 1776.
Nice try.
A wine of pure pleasure and a sophisticated gastronomic wine, Cristal is both powerful and delicate, combining subtlety and precision. That's from Jean-Baptiste.
Jean-Baptiste, isn't he?
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Oh, please do.
He's, what? Just the musician?
Oh.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
the martial
artist.
The martial
artist is uncle.
Stephen Colbert's. Show Jean-Baptiste.
Oh yeah, no, you're right.
He's got that little keyboard that he blows into.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
His name is Paul.
He's no Doc Severinsen, but he gets the job done. Where were we?
Cristal. The Tsar's wine.
Our house's most famous wine was created in 1876 to satisfy the demanding tastes of Tsar Alexander II.
The demanding tastes. Mm-hmm. What, did he just like say, this has got to be this way or else I'm going to kill y'all?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't think he said y'all.
Just like OJ.
The emperor asked Louis Roederer to reserve the house's best cuvée for him every year. He was particularly fond of the house's wine. To distinguish this cuvée, this exceptional champagne came in a flat-bottom, transparent lead crystal bottle. The new brand was named after
my favorite Queen song.
Flat-bottom, transparent
lead crystal bottle. That was the original name of the song.
Make the rock and roll go round.
How do we shorten that up? Like, how about just girls?
The new brand was named after this precious material, which is particularly transparent and luminous. Produced uniquely during the best years, when the Chardonnay around 40% and Pinot Noir around 60%, grapes have attained perfect maturity. Cristal is aged for 6 years in Louis Roederer's cellars.
Basements.
Knox is turning into Scooby-Doo.
Like, whoa, Scoob, could you just read the damn thing? Come on.
Right, oh. And left for a further 8 months after degorgement.
Is that what happens after the 4 hours if the Viagra lasts that long?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, Cristal.
Just, yep.
Cristal is a remarkably balanced and refined champagne whose length is inimitable. And has silky texture and fruity aromas, complemented by a powerful mineral quality with white fruit and citrus notes. Cristal is a wine that keeps well. It can be conserved for over 20 years without losing its freshness and character. This one in particular, this concentrated, dense, ripe, fresh, and long Cristal 2006 is unhesitatingly made using full-bodied, smooth pinots and fresh, elegant mineral Chardonnays.
Like the very delicate dong of the champagne glass.
Most people do like my delicate dongs.
You walked right into that.
My length is amenable as well.
On the nose, it's very like, it's almost like a apple juice smell, like a sugary.
Ironically, apple that's juice. Exactly what Chris's delicate dong smells like too.
I'm usually champagne dipped.
It's like a cigar and whiskey, but it's Chris into some apple Chris juice.
Chris inside a Cristal.
There's a bottle of Lewinsky joke in there I'm not going to touch. Anyways, I really like the minerality of the smell of this one. I'm very particular to that Chardonnay kind of smell, and I really like it on this one. It's got kind of that green apple acidity, some saline in there, briny, I should say, a little bit in the tail end.
It's also got some like of those savory characteristics of the previous ones as well.
I get a weird note on this, but it blends into that savory chocolate.
Hmm.
I absolutely get like just a little bit of like cacao powder.
Maybe some nibs.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to go deep. Yeah. Okay.
I'm going deep.
Now you say that, I would have.
And then I'm going deep to the sequel.
Like almost like a chocolate deep. Orange.
Yeah. Chocolate orange. Cause there's so much orange to this as well. Orange zest and a little bit of like orange fruit.
Kind
of
like that Signet.
No.
Whiskey with that chocolatey orange.
Well,
I get kind of a
that's
a pear at the end, though.
Oh, yeah.
And not like one, two.
Grilled pear?
Pear the fruit or vegetable or noun, whatever.
Ernie,
the hell it
you're
is
doing with. Fabulous. Continue.
You look so defeated, Ben. Sorry.
This is something else.
Yeah, grilled pear is a great note. There's some really interesting cooked fruit blended with fresh ripe fruit. There's a lot going on that.
I really like this one. This one's great. It's like very well-rounded.
It's got a way fruitier taste in the smell. Like the kind of the minerality from the smell kind of disappears when you taste it.
That's the Dom. This is the Crystal.
You get these good fruity notes too, but I don't know, you guys are saying minerals, like it's, I don't know, fresh water also. I know water doesn't give you a taste, but there's a mineral water quality to it or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't put my tongue on.
I would call the minerality in this river rock.
Like limestone.
It's a little bit less bright than limestone, more of a like really clean. I think mineral water is a good baseline, almost granite-y sort of minerality to this.
Yeah.
Do they run off of like a granite slab?
Well, there's just a clean freshness to it. Some of those other ones where we were talking savory felt a little heavier in your mouth and things like that. This one is just light and delicate and... I know. It's pretty
I could see. I could see that it would be more expensive than the other ones we've tried because I think it's a higher quality, honestly. But I don't know if it's. Would you pay $320?
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
I could. I like this one. Delicious.
I like
really
this
well.
One way more than the Dom.
Yes.
Yeah.
It finishes kind of dry, but I like that pear, that fruit. At the end, kind of lingers. The Dom, that taste lingered a lot, but that dried the top of my tongue way more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know we're not talking about price right now, but...
No.
Yeah.
I think...
But I do like this one.
Yeah. This is the highest quality of the day.
This is my favorite of the day.
I think so for me as well.
I think when it comes to bubbles, the flavors we were getting in the Dom, that really citrus dominant, I can find those flavors in a lot of sparkling wine. At a pretty good quality for not that much money. Mm. Whereas getting these richer baked pear and rich overripe peach is another thing I get here and a lot of minerality.
Like powdered cocoa that you mix with milk.
Yeah, those aren't flavors you find in inexpensive wines. Mm. And so I feel more justified paying a higher price for something that's unique in that way.
Yeah.
It's definitely a very like exceptionally different tasting experience. Mm. Like there's so much going on in just this one glass.
But at the same time though, if I just cracked open this bottle for the first time, I don't know if I could pull out all those notes without having the other three bottles that we drank before.
Well,
the sample.
If you can't pull out, wear a condom.
Thanks for the PSA, Chris.
Shit. Thanks a lot, Supreme Court.
But when Stefan and I were laying on the sheepskin rug and drinking Cristal, we had a 2012, and it's weird to me. So I've had Cristal just that one other time, right? And it was a different vintage, and it wasn't the same. It was quite a bit different. That one was a much sharper and bubble. I don't know. It was weird.
And that's an important distinction with champagne. There are vintage champagnes and a lot of non-vintage champagnes. So we talked about Veuve Clicquot. Veuve Clicquot is a non-vintage champagne. It is a blend of multiple years, and they do that to ensure a house style.
Right.
One bottle of Veuve Clicquot is going to taste pretty much exactly like another bottle, even if they're produced 10 years apart.
Right, just like Johnny Black.
Is that because they kind of use that Solera method where they keep a little bit and they just keep random, they just keep adding to it? And
it's not quite Solera. They have lots of different vintages and different vineyard sites because they're buying grapes from huge groups of people. So if one year you're like, this vineyard was a bit too tart. I need this really rich fruit that we had 3 years ago from this vineyard and we're going to blend that together. So the blender's skill there, it is. It's like a blended whiskey where you're trying to maintain consistency. It's even tougher though because you're relying more on agricultural product that vary a ton year to year.
Right.
Whereas a vintage champagne, it's more like most still wines. It's more of an expression of what was happening that year.
Look, if we're going to continue to use whiskey, it's a single barrel.
Yeah, that's a great metaphor. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to say, this is kind of a good hand or two above the rest of them. That's for sure. As far as quality, taste, the profile. I really like this one.
The only thing I think it's missing is that bubble. I wish there was a touch more bubble to it. Mm.
It's bubblier than the other ones besides the Dom. The Dom was the most bubbly.
For sure.
I'd like a middle point between what this is now and the Dom for bubbliness of this, and I think it would be really perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shit.
Yeah, you should start the scoring.
Why not? I'll have to go 4.75 because it's not perfect. It could be a little more bubbly.
That's kind of the point I was leading up to, 4.75.
I'm going to succumb to the groupthink and also say 4-7.
You're going to succumb on the group?
One of us.
One of us. Ben? Well, it tastes like half a month's rent, so I'll give it a 5.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, this is the best one I've ever had, best champagne I've ever had, so I'm not afraid to give it a 5. I kind of like the
maybe
bubbly
you should
where
be.
It was at.
Champagne. I'm giving it a 4.50. My favorite by far. So the Cristal average is 4.79.
Wow.
Wow. So way.
I love that.
Wow. It's crazy. Wow.
And it was worth every penny insane. Chris paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a couple hundred bucks, almost 300 probably.
Almost 300.
It would be worth something crashing like a baby shower if this was the champagne.
Right. There. Yes. There was another definitely one I wanted to buy as well because I just happened to find it, but I didn't because Ace, I think it's called Ace Champagne, but it was like...
I thought you were going to tell us you got it from Ace
but
Hardware.
That one was $350 for a bottle. Whew. But yeah, I think I paid $250, $260 for that Cristal.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
But it was really good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a great thing to share.
I was way disappointed in that Dom, personally.
It's something to... It's fun to see what the fuck is the hype about.
Yeah.
Now, if you have indisposable... if you have lots of money, sure, I'd buy this all the fucking time.
Yeah, fuck it.
Because it is way better than anything else that we had. But when you don't have all the money, fuck yeah, I'm going that Grand Cru...
That $11 one was pretty decent, and it was $11.
Right,
so,
but if spent, yeah. but if you know, if $40 was just as easy to spend as $300, yeah, I'm buying Cristal.
Oh, for sure, mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I had all the money in the world and I didn't have to worry about anything,
I would only wear socks once.
Yeah. You know what? You just don't make it any fun.
Every
anymore,
day would
you
know? Be fresh socks day.
This is something I wanted to share. You know,
if that, I could live a day,
did I guess it right?
Yes, you did, fucker. I would. I'd wear a fucking new pair of socks every day for the rest of my life.
You actually guessed it?
Goddamn fuckboy over here.
In his tall pants.
Get out of my head with your delicate dong. I mean, seriously.
I didn't mean to stomp on your grapes.
Well, yeah. Well, all right.
Now you took my entire joke, you fucking asshole.
Oh, I didn't have any other material prepared. That was impressive.
I had 8 minutes on this.
He wrote it down that he has a piece of paper in front of him, and all it says was new pair of socks every day. That was the
8 to 10 minutes.
I can milk this.
It was more like 3 to 4. I wasn't going to give you the full Norm MacDonald treatment on it, but yeah. No, it's and I'd buy myself one bottle of that, you know, just on a Tuesday, just for shits and giggles.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Some Cristal.
So Ernie, what's the rundown? Give us our final scores for the day, please, if you could, please.
Well, the winner, of course, was Cristal at 479.
The 2006?
Correct. And then second was actually the Grand Cru at 408, which beat out Dom at 4. And then, of course, the Cava, whatever. Was last at 362.
All were good though. I enjoyed them, but
yeah, boy, that was the $11 one. So at the shit,
I mean,
no, I think that one was 60, right?
No, the Cava was 11. The Francis Boulard Grand Cru was about 65.
Okay, so the $65 one was second place. It's
correct.
Not too shabby.
Yeah,
great day. All right, anybody got anything to promote before we say goodbye to our audience? And I can take a picture of these four empty bottles for the show.
They're we not enjoyed empty them. Yet. Which one did you like, Anne?
Cristal.
Okay.
Yeah. See.
I'll go ahead, even though you've already had one ad for Bridgeview Liquor, and tell you to come check it out and let you know, in addition to our classes that we've been promoting for a while, we are doing our first Thursday tastings again. So what that is, the first Thursday of every month, 5 to 8 p.m., stop by Bridgeview Liquors. We have free samples, wine, beer, cocktails, liquor sometimes. lots of different stuff.
Liquor sometimes, but cuddle always.
Oh, I walked into that with no clue.
Fucking suck it.
Fuck boy.
But yeah,
Ben's
come down.
Still disgusted by the whole day.
He's just mad I came up with that.
yes, I am.
What I have to promote is Front Street Tap Room has comedy shows every other weekend. I'm a regular host on those shows.
That's down in the cellar where they keep their champagnes.
Oh yes, all the champagnes and all of the drunk college students.
They still do. They do still do open.
That's where they age.
they age the college students. Yeah, no, and then we have an open mic every Wednesday night. Sign up is 7:30. So please come out. It's super fun. We take on all comers. If you've been thinking about doing stand up, it's really fun. It's a really fun way to get out of the house. And feel free to stop by.
Oh, I was waiting.
I thought it was going to be you. I was going to come up with a joke.
All
comers.
All comers, yeah. I mean,
yeah, I was surprised that Chris didn't ejaculate all over that
one. I was
going
to let everybody else have a chance. I've been crushing all day. It's like, here, go ahead and try.
They're saving all their energy for the Wednesday night open mic at the Front Street Tap Room.
That's right.
It's very fun. So, yeah, all right,
Ben.
Catch me there.
Hey, if you want to have a good time on Tuesdays, you can stop by Drunken Wrath Brewing starting at 8 o'clock in beautiful downtown Fargo for Two Lanterns Trivia. Hosted by none other than Ben Revere. That's me. Wednesday nights, I'm at the Troll Lounge starting at 7 o'clock in the Sons of Norway. Thursdays now, I'm out in West Fargo at the Piggy Barbecue.
That's just for snacking purposes.
Hosting trivia, three nights a week. If you can't catch it one night, you got two other chances. And also, if you want to get some cool stuff like, a printed T-shirt, a custom engraved mug, maybe a sticker, you can stop by Art Riot Promotions located at 819 Main Avenue in Moorhead. And I'd be happy to hook you up with some stuff over there, too.
How about you? Anybody else? Chris?
No, I do nothing.
All right. Where can they find you at, Ernie?
Chris does nothing.
.com.
I'll be doing that across the street eventually.
.com.
After we do two more episodes, right?
Well, eventually we're going to get shit done. All right. We want to thank our sponsors for supporting our show, and we want to thank you, our listeners, without whom this podcast could not happen, and to you, we say...
May your glasses be full and your spirits high. Cheers!
Ooh,
for that was nice.
This has been a Predica Productions episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews. Follow us on all social medias at Brews, Booze, and Reviews. Special thanks to our sponsors for supporting our podcast. You too can support our show by supporting them. We have merch for sale and additional content available on Patreon. New content coming always, because it's fun to come always.